So in touching on that, though, the one that I love, I guess it's not on 449 anymore. It's on another page. 417, thank you very much. But it reads as, "And acceptance is the answer to all my problems today. When I am disturbed, it's because I find some person, place, thing, or situation, some fact of my life, unacceptable to me. And I can find no serenity until I accept that person, place, thing, or situation as being exactly the way it is supposed to be at this moment. Nothing, absolutely nothing, happens in God's world by mistake. Until I could accept my alcoholism, for me, compulsive eating, I could not stay sober or abstinent. Unless I accept life completely on life's terms, I cannot be happy. I need to concentrate not so much on what needs to be changed in the world, as on what needs to be changed in me and my attitudes." And for me, that is a huge part of what step seven speaks to me. It is the humility of truly letting go of those things that I thought I needed. Just like I thought I needed the food. I didn't want to drop your little thing. It's very sweet. Okay, well, that brings us on to step eight. That was a fun one, huh? Made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Well, what's the principle? Forgiveness. What's the freedom? Freedom from blame. Oh my gosh. Did I need freedom from blame? I blamed everybody. Starting with my mother. Doesn't it start with our mother for a lot of us? I don't know. Maybe it does. Maybe it doesn't. But, I loved the victimization. I loved the self-pity. I loved the poor little me. I just thought that that could excuse just about any behavior or any way of life. And when I found out in this program that that was perhaps BS, I was just a little taken back by that. And so I had to look again at my relationship with my mother, and I had to look at that relationship with love and tolerance, with compassion and generosity. Those are words that are coming from this program. I didn't make those up. I'm not nearly that good on putting those things together. But that's what I had to do. And that brings me to the big book of 552. What do we do with a resentment? If you have a resentment you want to be free of, if you will pray for the person or the thing that you resent, you will be free. If you will ask in prayer for everything you want for yourself to be given to them, you will be free. Ask for their health, their prosperity, their happiness, and you will be free. Even when you don't really want it for them, and your prayers are only words and you don't mean it, go ahead and do it anyway. Do it every day for 2 weeks, and you'll find you have come to mean it and to want it for them. And you will realize that where you used to feel bitterness and resentment and hatred, you now feel compassion and understanding and love. And that was a huge piece of for me in step eight. First of all, was to forgive my mom. Believe me, she suffered good and hard over her compulsive overeating. When she had that embolism and could no longer talk clearly and died not being able to talk clearly. And that was her business. She helped small businesses. She was a bookkeeper and an accountant. And her forte was to take these small businesses and, you know, give them guidance, but also kind of talk them into what they needed to do next and how to incorporate ideas that they had no idea how to do. I'm talking about people that want to run a restaurant and haven't been educated to do that. I'm talking about contractors that, I can remember contractors coming in, this particular one I'd gone to have lunch with her. Of course, it was going to be about eating. gone to have lunch with her, and this guy comes in, and he's getting ready to do his taxes. And so he pulls something out of his pocket. Oh, first he has a little thing, and she says, "Is that all there is?" And he pulls something out of his pocket. "Is that all there is?" He pulls something. "I think you need to go out and look in the truck." Comes back in with more. But that was her forte, and that she was very good at it, and it was taken from her. And that was a huge loss, and I feel really badly about that. The other one that I had to surrender to was what I did in my behavior around that. I was led by my mom. She was strong, and I was definitely in a very toxic place. She fed my disease just as she fed hers, so of course we ate and binged together. And my dad, who was the teacher, the educator, the quiet man, the man that was more important for him to give an orange to a child that didn't have any lunch than it was to impress the board. And she was pretty harsh on him. And I joined her side. And so this man that I greatly respected as a child growing up, as a young adult, I was harsh with him as well. And he passed away, and I didn't have him to make the amends to. And I'll tell you, that was pretty hard. So finally my sponsor said, and this was the first time around, that I had lost my parents when I came into recovery. And so this was the first time around for the 8th and 9th, and I said, "I just don't know what to do. I just feel so horrible that I did this, that I was so much led and controlled by my mom that I had no strength to support him in any way." And she said, "Go to a place he loves and make your amends." And I went and I sat in an elementary schoolyard. And I made my amends. I surrendered to that horrible action that I had done many years as a young adult, because I was easily controlled. I was toxic. I excused my behavior. I was defiant. And I had grandiosity and fantasies beyond your wildest dreams. I didn't go the direction that I learned was the direction to go with that grandiosity. I remember people, when the lady said in a meeting one time, "I have the best fantasies you can ever imagine." Another one said, "You know, I think I suffer from uniqueitis. I'm the only one. Nobody understands me. I'm all alone."